Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Clive Urquhart.
Brilliant. I'm going to have a little chat with you this morning, is that okay? We're about to start a bit of an adventure as a church. How many of you know it's always best to do whatever God says in the Word? So if we apply the Word in our lives, then we see the result or the fruit of the Word. Is that right? If we live the Word, then we're going to see the results of what the Word says we're going to see. Is that right? So the best thing for us as believers and as a church is to do whatever the Word says. Now, sometimes it's not easy to apply the Word or to take hold of the Word, because sometimes circumstances can be challenging, pressures can be on our lives. What we see around us at any moment in a situation might not match what the Word of God says, but that's exactly why we want to take hold of the Word, so that the circumstances, the facts, the things that are around our lives then change and come into line with what the Word of God says. The Word of God is not fact, it's truth. There are facts that are around our lives that say this or that or the other, but the truth is the thing that we determine to live by and to live from. And when we apply the truth and we take hold of the truth, then the facts begin to change, and the facts then begin to line up and become the truth, because the truth is overcoming facts, the truth is overcoming circumstances, the truth is overcoming sickness, the truth is overcoming opposition, the truth is overcoming negativity, the truth is overcoming unfruitfulness, the truth is overcoming whatever says the facts are or the circumstances are, and the truth says, no, this is what I've purposed for you. And as we take hold of the truth, as we speak it, as we pray it, as we declare it, as we make decisions according to it, as we respond to it, as we seek to apply it, then we see more and more of the truth, of the reality of the truth at work in us, through us, impacting people around us, and seeing a change that things then line up with the truth. Are there any believers in here today? Brilliant. So we want to know what God is saying so that we know how to respond to what he's saying. And if we know what he's saying, then we know how we need to act in response to what God is saying. When God speaks to you and I in our lives, and when he speaks to us as a church, when we respond to that, the grace of God kicks in a lot into our lives to enable us to live it. The grace of God is not there to let us wander about to do whatever we want, and then God says, well, my grace will just cover it anyway. That's not what the grace of God's for. That's the mercy of God. When we dilly-dally around and we do this, that and the other, and we don't really respond to God and we don't live in the way he wants, God is merciful and doesn't treat us as we deserve. But the grace of God is there to enable us to live out the things of God. The grace of God enables us to live as to who God has called us to be. And when we respond to what the Word of God says, when we respond to what he wants, then the grace of God kicks in to enable us to live it. So that's why we need faith. Because to walk by the truth is not an automatic thing. It's not a feeling. It's something that we take hold of by faith, and we make decisions of faith. We take steps of faith. We take the word of faith, because it is faith, and we apply it, we speak it, we pray it. We take steps of faith. And as we take those steps of faith, not based on feelings or circumstances or what we do or don't see, as we apply those principles of faith, take those steps of faith, then we begin to see what the Word of God says we're going to see when we apply those things of faith. Now, there's always a challenge in our Christian life that I'm waiting to see it before I believe it, or I'm waiting to see it before I will respond and apply something, or I'm waiting for the feelings before I will act and do something. Faith is not a feeling. Many of us know that already. But faith often is a decision to believe what God says. because the circumstances will always say something opposite to what God says. How do we know that? Because God only needs to speak into a situation when what he wants is not happening. He will speak to lead us and guide us and show us how we need to walk. But often God will speak into a situation where what he wants to do is not happening. That's why we need faith. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing comes from the word. So God speaks to ignite faith in us that sees something different than the circumstances. So that when we respond to what he says and we begin to apply it, speak it, believe it, pray it, then we're looking to see what he says replace what we're seeing at that moment. Now that means we have to act differently. We speak differently. That means we, how we are in our lives is different then. Because if we carry on doing the same thing, we get the same result. So sometimes, or all the time, if we want a different result, then we need to apply whatever we need to apply to see that different outcome, that different result in and through our lives. So God is speaking to us at this time, and we had a vision night in January, and we kind of outlined a whole number of things, and I want to just pick up on a couple of things this morning, and some of the changes that we're going through at the moment, and where that's leading for us as a church. How many of you love change?
Yes.
Yeah. How many of us love change?
Yes.
Now, we love to talk about change. We love to talk about new things. We love to talk about, oh, you know, this and this and whatever you like. But when it actually comes to change, suddenly the penny drops and it's like, all right, it's not just a concept in my head of change, but there's a reality that has to take place in order for something to be different. And when change actually then needs to occur, it raises all the things in us that don't really like change. You know, it raises in us where the things that we're comfortable in, the things we like and all of that. And change shakes us a bit. Change challenges us a little bit. Our thinking, our paradigms, our comfort, the way we do things, the way we like things, the way things have been. And I've got used to them and I think I've sussed how they go. But change means faith. Change means having to trust God. Change means things won't be the same as they have been. Change means something new, something different. Change means I'm going to have to trust God in a different way. And also trust one another in a different way. So I don't know if we really do love change. But I believe God is a God who constantly changes things to become more like him, because he never changes. And until we see in our own lives and everything else around us actually looks like him, sounds like him, and is everything that he wants, then there's always going to be constant change in our lives, so that he makes us more like him, that we live more like him, and then we see all the things that he wants to see take place. So we can never settle down with God and say, that's it, we've arrived. Or, well, this is great, so let's enjoy the moment. I think God wants us to enjoy the journey of whatever he's doing, but understanding that on that journey, things are constantly changing. Like on any journey, you drive from here to Scotland and you'll see different types of scenery on the way. It doesn't all look the same on the way. And why? Because you're going from one place to the next and there's change on the way, but you want to enjoy the journey. You look at the scenery, you look out the window, you might stop and have lunch and do this, that and the other. You might stop on the way to Scotland and stay overnight somewhere. And the journey is just as important as the destination. The danger is we get so focused on the destination, and sometimes I don't even know if we really know what the destination is. But we have some thing in our head of what we think the destination is, when the nation will be transformed and everybody will be saved. I don't think everybody in this nation will ever be saved. Oh, thought we were a faith church and everything. We are. But not everybody got saved when Jesus was around. Not everybody got saved during the early church. Not everybody's been saved over the last centuries. Does that mean we don't witness? Absolutely not. Because there are thousands, tens of thousands, millions of people out there that will be saved in these coming days, months and years. God wants us to understand that He lives in the present, right now. He doesn't live in the future and He doesn't live in the past. He lives in the now. He doesn't live within time because He's outside of time. He's the God of yesterday, today and forever. What does that actually mean? He always lives in the now. He is, the Bible says. It does say He was, He is to come. But God lives in the now. God doesn't just live in the now and always speak about the future so that we're always looking to the future for something to happen. He's saying, no, I want you to live in the now of everything that I am and everything that I'm saying to you so that you see now what I want in your life personally, but also what I want in for your life as a church. Let tomorrow take care of itself, and there'll be things tomorrow that I'll do and I'll release in your life and amongst you and everything, but I want you to live in the today. So respond to me in the today so that everything that will happen tomorrow will take place. But let's not live in the tomorrow and say one day our thing will come and things will happen. No, let's live in the today of what God wants. So let's be quick to respond to whatever He says and whatever He wants to do. Because we can either speed up or slow down what God wants to do. There is a plan of salvation that God is working out in the world, and that's bigger than all of us, any church, anywhere. But yet we can speed up and slow down how much He moves and what He's doing. Wow. That's pretty awesome. God is sovereign God, and He works His purposes out through people, but we can speed up and slow down what happens or how much happens. Let's put it that way. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to be somebody who slows down or restricts how much God wants to take place. Do you? So I want to just do a quick kind of brief thing this morning in a few minutes. And in relation to where we're going over the next few weeks and months, some of the changes and why we're doing them. What does it really mean for our lives? And because what it raises in us is, oh, I don't really know how I want it to be like that or whatever. But we need to be quick to respond. The biggest challenge, I believe, about the Christian life is it's the complete opposite than before you got saved. Before you got saved, your whole life was about you. You were the center of everything. Once you get saved, you're not the center of anything anymore. Jesus is at the center. But the whole center of His nature and character is to give. See, God's nature is love, and that nature of love is to give. So before we were saved, everything was about us and me and what I want. Everything was centered around us. The Christian life is actually centered around giving. It's about giving away, giving your life away, laying your life down, how you can bless others, how you can serve others, how you can meet people's needs. It's completely opposite to over here, and it challenges us every day to live like that. There's not an automatic button that God has pressed on your life at this moment when you get saved that automatically means I'm just going to be a giver from now onwards, and this is brilliant, and it's just automatically happening. It's a choice that we make daily to submit and surrender our lives to Him. We're saying, God, I want to be a giver today, because there's things that happen in our lives when we're givers. And I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about just the way we are. Money can come into it, but it's how we are. You see, there's kingdom principles. One is it's better to give than to receive. The world's is the opposite. If you give, you're going to lose out. You're going to end up with less. In God's kingdom, when you give, you end up with more. What you sow is what you reap. It's a natural principle. Whatever you sow into the ground, you're going to produce a harvest of it. Same in God's kingdom. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. If you sow love, you will reap love. If you sow kindness, you reap it. If you sow patience, you reap it. Whatever you sow, it's a principle in God's kingdom that will return to you, but it returns pressed down, shaken together, running over into your lap. It's multiplied back to you. So whatever you give, God will always measure it back to you, because God's one of his principles is you will never, ever outgive me. You can't outgive me because I am God. And whatever you give, I'll make sure it's measured back to you abundantly. And what a guarantee. God is the best guarantee out there, and his word is the best guarantee. And so if he says, put my word into action, sow, give, lay your life down, the kingdom says you're going to then add, you're going to increase. Is that selfish? No, because we're not talking about a selfish Christianity here saying, well, I'll do that so that I get back. It's understanding a principle that we live by that is so opposite to the world that it takes our minds to have to a mind shift, a resetting of our thinking, because the Bible says we're transformed by the renewing of our minds. And as we take hold of this truth, that as I give, as I sow, as I lay my life down, actually I'm not going to lose out like I would over there, but actually I'm going to gain. So we're coming into a season where God's challenging us to give, to sow, to lay our lives down in a different way. I believe God's saying to us that we need to mature as a church, and he wants us to become spiritual parents. Many people in the room, many of us are parents. You've had kids. Many of you are grandparents, and you've had your kids, and you've seen your kids have their own children. And it's a massive joy, isn't it? Having your own kids, and I haven't had grandkids yet. Won't be for a few years, but I'm still trying to get used to the fact I'm a dad, you know, and I've got a 22-year-old son. You know, he's getting married in June. It's a bit like, whoa, really? Wow. And how did that happen? But you know, when you have kids in the natural, it's a decision you've made, obviously, but when you have kids, the moment that the first one particularly is born, your world changes. Your schedule changes. You know, even when you're married, before you have kids, you can still be pretty selfish in the way you live your life as a married couple. You still got time to do this, time to do that, time to do whatever you want, spend your money on this, that and the other. And then, I'm not saying people are like that, but it's very easy, you know. But when you have a baby, suddenly it's like, oh, right, you can't just go out when you want. You find, especially, you know, if you're young, you know, married when you have kids, suddenly it's like all your spare cash is going on this little bundle that you've just had. But you made the decision to have this little bundle. It was you wanted to have this baby, and it was a great moment 9 months earlier, great time, you know, at that moment conceiving the child, but there's a reality that kicks in a few months later. There's suddenly this, it's like we've got to look after this thing and everything that comes with it. And sometimes it challenges you because you're up in the night. Now, there's part of you that says, I want to feed, I want to change its nappy, I want to do this because, you know, but there's part of you like, oh, I don't want to get out of bed. I just do not, you know, and you know, because it's always the husband's job, isn't it? To stay in bed and let his wife go and do the baby. So, as a husband, I can remember so many times nudging Jane, the baby's awake, you need to go and sort him out, because I'm working tomorrow, you're not. So, you know, you just got to understand the dynamics of parenthood. It's just as well I'm not doing the parenting classes at the moment, short course. Just pressing some buttons in some of you ladies, just checking your attitude this morning, just you've got to... Because the blokes, we're all on side, is that right? Yeah. Good, great. See, the blokes have got a great attitude this morning. They're at one with me. We're at one heart and mind. We're just checking the ladies are catching up. Brilliant. But you don't just take on a child for 6 months or a couple of years till it can walk. And then you say, well, now you can walk, get out and get a job and bring some money into the house. Come on, get a grip. You're 3 years old now. You can talk, you can communicate. Come on. You know, you take responsibility for the child as it grows, and you talk and parent, relate, and that relationship changes, what are you doing? You're discipling. You're mentoring. You're being an example. How many of you know as parents, it doesn't matter what you say to your kids, it's what they see that they copy. And so disciple is not just what you say, it's how you live and mentoring your kids. And so they watch everything you do. And that relationship changes over a period of time. The way you relate to them at 15 is very different than the way you relate to them at 5 years old and at 10 years old. And so you're learning all the time, and each child is different. I mean, our three kids, they're all different to each other. And our relationship with them is different because they're different people. So we don't try and say to them, you've got to fit into the way we are and relate to us as the way we are. That's part of the relationship. But we got to, as they're growing up, you're understanding what's their character, their personality and their strengths and their giftings. And, you know, how do they communicate or how do they not communicate? And, you know, how are they? What do they like? What don't they like? And that relationship changes and develops. But what are you doing? You want to raise a mature person that's going to take responsibility for their life and become a really healthy part of society. Bottom line. You want to raise them as obviously as Christians in the things of God, but they need to come to know God themselves. And where we're going as a church is we got to move from being teenagers, where maybe we like stuff centered around ourselves the way we like it, we can have what we want when we like, you know, or maybe even just being like adults, where, you know, you've got to be responsible and take responsibility for stuff. But it's only really when you have kids that it really challenges your lifestyle, and you have more kids, and your family changes and all of that kind of stuff. And that's where we are at this moment as a church, just stepping in to really need to become spiritual parents. When in the natural, when you have kids, there's an element where some of it's forced on you when you have the baby. There's certain things forced that you're going to have to, I've got to get up, I've got to do this, I've got to learn how to parent, I've got to do this. It's not the best time for this, but we've got to do this anyway. And you find you're spending your money on stuff. Now, when you translate that spiritually, there's nothing forced on you. It's always a choice. That's part of the problem for Christians. And where we're to step over this line from being adults to becoming spiritual parents, often we back off because it means it's going to affect my lifestyle a bit. It's going to interrupt a little bit. It's going to, I don't know if I really want to do that. How am I going to handle this? I don't know if I really know how to disciple somebody. Let's be honest. When you have your first child, you really don't have a clue how to parent. You just learn on the job, right? There's an element where you can go to classes. You can pick things up from the way you were maybe raised or not. I don't know. It depends on what your situation is. You can learn from others. But the reality of actually parenting comes to life when you have to parent. And I believe there's an element where for us as a church, we're going to come alive in a new way when we respond fully to what God is saying. So let's just really run down this pretty quick. What's God been saying to us? He's saying to us, he wants to gear our lives, or gear the church, which is us lot, our lives, for the harvest. He's been speaking about a lot of people in our 25-mile radius from the story of feeding the 5,000. He spoke to us about 5,000 men and their households in the 25-mile radius. That's about 2 million people in our 25-mile radius. 5,000 men in their households is about 1%. That's not a lot, really, is it? But God's saying, I want you to get out there and somehow reach 1% of your 25-mile radius. God's going to use other churches to reach the other 99%. But he's saying, I want you to at least go for 1%. That's our goal. Maybe we'll have another one after that. But let's go for that one first. 15, 20,000 people. What do you reckon? God always puts something in front of us that we're not seeing at this moment that requires a step of faith. There are steps all along the way to see that kind of thing, but that's what he spoke to us from. Men, 5,000 men and their households in the 25-mile race. Time to mature and become spiritual parents. That's the next stage for us as a church. What's the response to that? Two things. One is prayer. One is mission. Pray and go. Nothing ever happens without prayer. Now, we know that mentally, but how much in our personal lives do we really believe that and apply that in situations? And I believe the kind of prayer that God wants us to be praying is not kind of prayers of asking God, but actually prayers that are declaring, are speaking, are releasing, much more dynamic, you know, commanding and all of that kind of stuff, rising up as believers with that dynamic of faith that we have in our lives, saying we're not going to settle for anything less than what God is saying. We're not going to settle for anything less than God's best. That's what I'm praying. That's what I'm commanding. That's what I'm speaking. Sometimes you're really up for it and you feel like, yeah, we can change the world as we pray. And other times you feel like, well, I feel like my prayer's just hitting the ceiling. But God's still the same, right? So no matter how we're feeling, sometimes we have to rise up in faith and go, right, I'm going to pray this anyway. Even though everything within me thinks this is just ridiculous or I don't feel like anything's going to happen. And other times you feel like, come on, I'm going to pray something even more outrageous. Why? Because whatever reason, your faith's up there or you're just feeling good that day or whatever. But faith changes things. It's connected with prayer. So we don't pray, things won't happen. Second part is the mission, the going part. And I believe this is where, for us, in terms of maturing as a church, God doesn't separate growing spiritually with mission. It's not that there's one part of our Christian life where we grow in faith in relationship with God, and then there's evangelism or mission. Well, hang on a minute. If we do more and more of that in our own personal lives, we reach out and we'll become more missional in our own lives. Well, where's the depth going to come from? Well, actually, what you'll find is as you do that, you'll find that happens in your own personal life. You can't give without receiving. The two are linked. Jesus, doesn't he, links, through the New Testament, if you don't love your brother, you don't love God. Yeah. Wow. So the outworking is connected with this way. And this way is connected with the outworking. The Christian life is three things all in one. It's relationship with God, relationship in the body, and then reaching out to those that don't know Jesus. There's three elements. They're all linked together. You can't have one without the other. And there can't be the reality of one without the other. Some people say, our church is just an evangelistic church. We don't really go much for worship and stuff. We have a couple of songs and that, but we really go. And I'm like, okay. Don't you love Jesus? Well, of course we do. Would you like to worship Jesus? Yeah, well, we sing a couple of songs, but we're a missional church. It's like, great. Every church is a missional church, isn't it? You know, well, you're more of a worshiping church. Well, every church is a worshiping church, isn't it? Well, you guys are really into prayer, aren't you, at Kingdom Faith? You're more of a prayer, you're kind of praying church. And it's like, well, isn't every church a praying church? Well, our thing's discipleship. We're a discipleship church. Well, shouldn't every church be a discipleship? Mate, that's a great commission, isn't it? And sometimes in our heads, when we begin to speak about going and going and missional and reaching people, seeing people saved, we then start saying, well, what's going to happen in the worship? What's going to happen? Aren't we going to get as much teaching and all of that kind of stuff? And what we're doing is we're looking at the outward to still do something for me in my life. Is this all right this morning? I was going to go completely somewhere else, but it's just coming out in a different way. Is that okay? I mean, you wouldn't know that because you don't know what's in my notes, but anyway, it's just coming out in a very different way. I'm standing here thinking, how am I going to say this again in the 11:30? Because I can't remember what I've already said in the last 25 minutes. But anyway, maybe they'll get what's in the notes. Or I don't know. We'll see what happens. But you see, this is a bit of a chat, but in a preachy way. Is that all right? Yeah. I was wondering about sitting on the edge of the stage and just chatting, but I can't sit down. Anyway, one of the things we've been taught about is connecting with everybody's heart and passion and what God wants to do. And there's three aspects, if you like, that just make up some stuff. There's the prayer, which is one part. The mission bit, there's three bits. Small groups is all part of that. Now, that's quite a shift, especially here, not to be finishing life groups around Easter time in the way that we've had them and launching all this small group kind of approach. And it's connected with our heart and passion. And a lot of the information we've had back covers a really wide spectrum of interest and heart and passion. And that's brilliant, you know. Not everything is evangelistic or missional in that sense. But not everything is word-centered in terms of getting into the word or prayer or that kind of stuff. And not everything is just geared around relationships. The breadth of small groups is there are some very outreach-orientated ones that are mainly geared around sports and hobbies and that kind of stuff. Things like climbing and badminton, squash, swimming. I've got a whole list of stuff that people have got a heart for and to do. Then there's other things that are very relationship-centered, not so missional, but more relational, meeting together, getting into the Word, encouraging each other, more of a life group style kind of small group in terms of how life groups have been. There's some of those kind of things in terms of small groups. But then there's others that are more prayer-focused, or there might be men's ones or women's ones. There's people who've got a heart for single parents and just other things that are in there, whole mix and raft of things, right? And some are going to be really missional, some are going to be a bit more relational, some are going to be a bit more kind of vertical in terms of the what they are spiritually. But we need all of them. Some people want to do, you know, there's one or two Way of the Spirit ones, there's some Freedom in Christ stuff, there's, you know, other things, you know, that are short course kind of thing, not short courses in terms of what we do on a Monday night, but shorter kind of things for new believers and all that kind of stuff. And if we're going to have more missional ones, people getting saved, we're going to need to have some ones that do Freedom in Christ and early discipleship stuff and all of that. But we're going to need to have more mature ones that help people get into the Word and discover more of who God is. So we're going to need a breadth of stuff. So they can't all just be so evangelistic, there's nothing else that follows it. So God in His wisdom has put different passions and different things in all of us as a church, as a congregation, that it covers the breadth of stuff that is needed from reaching the person that's got no idea about God right through to people maturing in the things of God. And so we need the breadth of all of that going on. And so the small groups is going to become obviously a really key part of reaching people and what that looks like. And it's going to be a big shift because some of these things will be 10, 12 week kind of things. Some of them will keep repeating every term or every, you know, whatever season we do them. Others might just happen once and then not happen for another 6, 12 months or whatever. It just, some of them are outside the kind of 10, 12 week kind of time scale because of the nature of what they are, reaching the community in different ways. They're ongoing things and that's totally fine. And we want to try and not box everything in, try and make things as flexible as we possibly can. We know maybe as we get going and the sign-up Sundays we're having, the last one of this month on the 30th and the first one in April on the 6th, those two sign-up Sundays where you can say, this is what I want to be part of and get involved in. We know initially there might not be something for everybody first time because this is something we just got to get going and get moving and develop. So we need to just give this a good year or so to begin to really get this embedded into the life of the church. And as we go over this next 12 months, there'll be other things that rise up in people that this is what I've got a heart for, a passion for. And as we develop leaders, people that can lead those things as well. So we just need to, you know, be gracious, if you like, that over the next few weeks, when it comes to these sign-up Sundays, you might kind of look and say, well, actually, there isn't, you know, for me, there isn't something that really I'm passionate about in that lot. Well, maybe initially just get involved in something. But just plug into something that might be close to, some, you know, or whatever, to your heart or passion. And just begin to get involved. But we just need a bit of time to, because this is quite a shift that we're going through. And in some way, every small group needs to be missional in some way, have some outlet. Because there's three key parts of these things. I don't want to just go down and become mechanical now. But there's three key parts to any small group. One is to connect, which is really geared about to new people coming in and people getting saved. The second one is relate. It's a relational side to grow healthy, strong relationships with one another. And the third one is to grow in the things of God and to grow in fruitfulness and to see leaders grow and develop. So that connect, relate and grow. They're the three kind of core things right at the heart of any small group. Now, we know some will be more missional than others. Some will be more word sent than others. That's fine. That's okay. But in terms of people leading, there's certain things that we're doing with people that so that they know how to lead and some of the elements that need to come in. But we know some that's very evangelistic. You're not necessarily going to have a Bible study right in the middle of it. But you see, as people start getting saved, then they're going to need some input in the Word. They're going to need some discipleship. So there might be some of the people from that small group then might get do some freedom in Christ with those people, and they then end up having a small group of freedom in Christ with some of these new believers. So also, the small groups aren't just going to be static groups. They need to be more like organism things. There might be 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 people in that group, but as God does stuff, then it actually has another group that grows out of it, or something else that grows from it, because the thing's alive. God's at work in and through us as people. People's lives are getting impact, and therefore there's now a kind of an increase or a multiplying of things. And from that one group that was very maybe rock climbing orientated, now there might be a couple of other groups that become more discipleship, freedom in Christ, or whatever types of groups out of it. Do you understand that? So it's not just static groups. It's like, well, what does God want to do so that this one might become 2, 3, 4, 5 over the next 6, 8, 10 months? As parents, you can only have so many kids at a time. Most people tend to have one at a time. Some people do have twins, and more unusually, triplets and so on. You know, spiritual parents, though, you can have loads of kids. So you don't need just to have one at a time and then however many years later have another one. You can have one, you could have two, you could have three, and then maybe a few weeks later, 2, 3, some of these people have just got saved. They might then see some friends saved. So the thing can become exponential in terms of what God wants to do. But are we ready and up and willing for that? Obviously not. That was a great answer from me. But it's a challenge, isn't it? Because there's probably different thoughts going on in different ones of us right now as to, what's that going to look like? How am I going to handle that? What am I going to do? I tell you guys, there's so much in you. The wealth of the Word that is in your life. Some of you have been saved for a long time. Some of you might only recently be saved, but there's a lot in your lives. Now, I appreciate some of you are already pretty full on in everything you're doing in the life of the church. Brilliant. But there's a lot of us also that maybe God wants to become fruitful in a way that we're not at the moment. And He knows what our life involves in terms of family and work and all of that brings. And He knows how we can be fruitful with those things in the season of life that we're in. I don't think there's anybody in the room that can say, I'm so busy with my world and my work that I've got no time for God to do something through my life. I don't think God leads us in that way. In your work world, that might be the place that God is really using you to impact and affect people's lives. Absolutely brilliant. God doesn't separate that from everything else. He doesn't say, well, you're in your work world doing your thing, and now you're out of work, now it's my time, and I want you to do something else. God, wherever God's got us at this time and season, He wants to work in and through us in that environment, in that season. I know some people in the church, you know, there's much more of an anointing and a grace on their business and work world to be impacting people's lives in that way, and that's brilliant. That's what God wants to do. I think we just got to be available for however He wants to work in and through our lives. We could read Acts 2, 42 down to 47. There's a number of things in there where it talks about the early church being devoted to the Word, to the fellowship, the sharing of life, to communion, to prayer. It then unfolds the dynamic of what God's doing. They're seeing miracles. There's nobody in need. They're appraising people. People are getting added to their number daily. There's some great stuff going on, some things happening. And all those elements are elements of what a small group is. The Word, sharing life. Sharing life is not just meeting each other's needs. It's just sharing life together. Yesterday, and for a little while I've been thinking about getting a motorbike. And That was somebody thanking the card there. I didn't write it down. I don't know if you did or somebody did. But anyway, I've been thinking about getting a motorbike for a little while. And I got one yesterday. And I haven't done any wheelies on it yet. But anyway. So it's an interest of mine. I used to do race motocross bikes a few years ago and everything. And I've been saying for a little while, Jan, I'm going to get a motor. She's like, just get a bike, get on with it, and before you're too old to ride one, you know. And but the place where I got it from, there's a guy there who works in the shop. And when we went in there the other day, because I had to buy a couple of bits, like a crash helmet. Obviously, it's helpful to have one of those if you're going to ride a motorbike. We ended up praying with him and his mate. In his shop. Now, the guy who works there is a believer, but he's kind of needs to come right back, you know, to God. And so we ended up talking with him, praying with him. And then when I went in there yesterday to pick the bike up, I ended up praying with this guy again. And we ended up having a conversation and, you know, talking. And I had a chat with him on the phone during the week as well. And he's obviously got a passion for motorbikes, and he's got all sorts of mates are in and around. I mean, every time I've been in there, he's always had mates in there that are just hanging out with him in the shop. And we end up praying for one of his other mates during the week. And you know, I don't know if we'll have a motorbike small group or not, but in terms of those guys, there's some people there that I know for me, God's challenging me and saying, right, here's your... You got a heart, you know, you got a bit of a passion for motorbikes and you've got one now, but actually I want to connect that with people and getting into their lives. And so I've started to pray for this guy during the week and shared some things with him yesterday that I kind of felt God was saying to me about him. And so I said, maybe we need to meet up regularly and we'll start doing some stuff. Maybe you've got a few other mates that you want to bring together and we'll start, yeah, we can go out for a bike ride and all of that, but you know, it'd be great if you're serious about getting sorted with God and what he wants to do, then maybe we can meet up and start going, getting some into the word. And then he said, yeah, he said, I'd like that, you know. And so that means to me it's going to take some time. I'm going to have to fit that. I'm going to not fit it in, but I'm going to have to say, right, what needs to change in order for me to do that? And I've talked to him about Worthing. It can be part of that. Why don't you come along tonight? I said, I'll be down there. Do you want to come at 5:30? Leisure Centre, it'd be great to see you. And so, what's your heart and passion? How can that connect with people? Because I've been praying and saying, God, you know, I don't just want to do something for the sake of it. Somehow open something up for me. It's something that I enjoy doing, I'm interested in, and that can be a connection point. And I'm sure God's going to open that up and we'll see where that goes. But God wants to see people saved through a hobby and a passion that I've got in the same way as he does through whatever is on your heart and whatever you want to see happen. Is that okay? Let's stand together, shall we? Just close your eyes for a minute. A couple of scriptures I want to read to you. When I'm with those who are weak, I share their weakness, for I want to bring the weak to Christ. Yes, I try to find common ground with everyone, doing everything I can to save some. Just talk to the Lord for a minute. That's quite a challenging scripture. This is Paul speaking to the Corinthians. I try to find common ground with everyone, doing everything I can to save some. Wow. That's quite a heart. See, your heart and passion, you'll find common ground with other people. See, that's what Paul's talking about. I'm trying to find some way to identify, connect with anyone so that I can see him saved. Are we prepared as a church for God to take the lid off? Will we take the lid off ourselves? Let's put it that way. Say, God, I give you permission to break open my life in a fresh way. How many of you want to become spiritual parents? Many of us in the room want that in our lives. Sometimes it's challenging in parenting, but there's a lot of joy, a lot of fun in it. And you would always say that the good stuff far outweighs any potential challenges there are. Always. Another scripture in 1 John 3. We know what real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us, so we also ought to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters. There's grace for that. When you respond to God, there's grace to live and to do whatever he says. See, that verse is really about sowing into one another's lives. So there's that, I'll do anything, connect with anybody to save some. But also, we want to build relationship, sow into each other's lives, build each other, lay our lives down for each other. But then in Ephesians 4, it says, God makes the whole body fit together perfectly. So he's put different things on different people's hearts in the room because he knows how to fit it together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Father, I thank you for the wealth of who you are in our lives, the richness of your word and everything. There's so much in this room in our lives that you want to release out into so many people's lives that are in spiritual poverty, that have nothing spiritually at this moment. And Father, you want to take this treasure chest. You want to take these riches that are in our lives. And you want to break open these earthen vessels so that that treasure within can just flow and be released into the spiritual poverty that is all around us. Father, I thank you as we respond in these coming weeks to your word and we seek to just connect with whatever the heart and passion is, whatever we might be able to be part of in these coming weeks and months, as we seek to respond to your word, I thank you for the grace released to do that. But I thank you for the growth that's going to take place in our own lives as we seek to sow and to give and to serve and to invest in others. What's going to begin to flow out of our lives and into other people's lives as a result? Thank you, Jesus. God's got a season of growth for you, ahead of you. Right at this moment. But I believe that growth is going to come as we give, as we serve, as we reach out. That's the next season of growth for us in our lives. And that will then include people. God wants you to give from all the health that you have in Him, the resource that you have in Him, the wealth that you have in Him. And as you draw on that and as you give, it's going to be multiplied into other people's lives. So, Father, I thank you for the grace that is already available to respond and to live this out, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Just turn to the person next to you, say, I'm looking forward to seeing the fruit that comes from your life. Brilliant. Bless you guys. Just before you go, if anybody does need any prayer or ministry for anything, then there'll be some of us up to your right at the front. If there is anybody here today and you don't know Jesus and you're thinking, I want to find out more, I'd love to have a chat with you. You can come and chat with one of the other two of the guys at the front here. We'd love to answer any of your questions or talk to the person that brought you and ask them, tell me more about Jesus, who he is and why you believe and all of that. Okay, so get your answers, your questions answered before you leave today. Bless you. Hub's open. Have a great time. Have a great week. Bless you.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.